We are now enrolling for the How to Hire the Best course, Become an Employer of Choice to Attract the A Players You Want on Your Team. You can register at tapthepotential.com/course.
Do your projections and see how that increase in volume is going to impact all of the other support costs. Because if you have to go out and hire a sales manager, how much more volume are you going to have to do in order to pay the sales manager?
Profit Designers, we are bringing you some of our most popular podcast episodes from our vault. Enjoy these episodes, and I will be back with you very soon. You work hard in your business. On the Profit by Design podcast, we ask the big question: what has your business done for you lately? Hi, I'm Dr. Sabrina Starling. I'm the business psychologist, the author of The 4-Week Vacation and the How to Hire the Best series, as well as the founder of Tap the Potential, where we coach entrepreneurs like you to design sustainably profitable businesses that give you more time for what matters most and more money in your bank account than ever. Because after all, we believe work supports life, not the other way around. Weekly on the Profit by Design podcast, we bring you tips, tools, and strategies from our own experiences and from the experiences of our guests who are entrepreneurial thought leaders and real life entrepreneurs, all to support you in making intentionally profitable and sustainable business decisions to live the lifestyle you desire. At Tap the Potential, we're on a mission to disrupt the traditional story of entrepreneurship. You know, grind it out, work really hard and work really long hours at the expense of your health, give up time with your family, and let your own quality of life suffer, all to keep the business going. It doesn't have to be that way. We believe work supports life, not the other way around. And that is our why behind everything we're doing at Tap the Potential. And it's our why behind the Better Business, Better Life Summit. This past year with COVID has been so stressful and so emotionally draining to so many entrepreneurs that we want to come in and be a breath of fresh air to inspire you so that you know you can actually grow your business again and have a high quality of life. Sign up now so you don't miss out on the summit as it's happening. We've gathered leading experts such as Mike Michalowicz, John Jantz, and David Jennings, and more. We're all coming together to share cutting-edge strategy with you to support you in designing a sustainably profitable business that gives you more time for what matters most and more money in your bank account than ever. Sign up now so you don't miss out on the Better Business, Better Life Summit as it's happening. Go to worksupportslife.com. Profit Designers, on today's episode, Mike and I are bringing you a conversation around the value of using job costing to manage your gross profit margin, which translates into more money that you keep. And as you know, on the Profit by Design podcast, we are all about it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So as we go into today's conversation, I want to just give you a heads up. We are talking very much in the construction industry around job costing. And those of you listening who are not in the construction industry, this is your opportunity to get an inside look into an industry outside of your own, how they do things, and what you can learn from how things are done in the construction industry and bring it into your business to be a more effective business owner. This conversation is key to understanding how to design a business that supports the lifestyle you desire. Today, we're talking with Diane Gilson. Diane created Info Plus Accounting in 1994 to help business owners establish job cost accounting systems so they can access critical day-to-day operations data using QuickBooks as their primary management accounting tool. Diane's passion is designing, customizing, and upgrading accounting systems and financial controls for small to mid-sized construction and manufacturing companies. Her online workshops offer job cost and management accounting training using QuickBooks and Intuit Enterprise Solutions, as well as in-house products to teach, troubleshoot, and coach clients and other accounting professionals throughout the United States. As a published author, speaker, and professional QuickBooks trainer with over 30 years accounting experience, she is viewed as a leader in her fields of expertise.
Diane, welcome to our podcast. You sent us some questions, one of which really resonated with me, and I'd like to start with that. One question is, what's one of the worst ways to grow profitability?
Okay, well, that is selling more without having a good profit margin. It's like the old joke about the guy that was up addressing his classmates at a class reunion. And they said, gosh, you know, you just seem to be the smartest guy in the class. I mean, nobody would really say that to him, but how are you doing so well? He says, well, you know, I just sell everything and I'm selling a lot of it. And I'm losing money on everything I sell, but I make it up in volume. So, old accounting joke.
So I think you are speaking our language here on the Profit by Design podcast, because we are all about building intentionally profitable businesses that sustain the lifestyle we desire. And it is, when it comes to profit, it's not about how much we make, it's about how much we keep. And if we don't have the margin in place and we haven't analyzed that, no matter how much we sell, we're not going to be improving our profitability and what we keep.
Exactly. And of course, I mean, we could go a lot deeper into that, but the administrative costs kind of move in a step-by-step fashion. And if you start expanding what you're selling and you don't have enough gross profit, it's really a fast way to the poorhouse.
And I'm sure in your role, you see a lot of really stressed out construction business owners coming in the door. What impact does that have on them when they are selling and they're not aware of their margins? What is the life impact that you see, that you witness?
Oh, yeah. Well, then people just end up working harder, working longer hours, trying to make up, you know, the difference. They just think they can work longer and harder. And I saw a session once where the guy asked everybody in the room, he says, well, how many of you want to double your profits? And everybody raises their hand. He said, well, how many of you can work twice as hard as you're currently working? And of course, all the hands went down. The business owner can't just absorb all of the extra work if they're not being profitable up in the income and gross profit area.
So why do you think that it's so prevalent, you know, in our industry, construction industry, and others too, but there's this mindset of like volume driven success?
Well, you have to have a certain amount of volume in order to survive. Okay. But lots of times people just feel like, oh, I can just sell more. If I sell more, I'm going to make more. And the other thing is that marketing is very seductive. There's a lot of information out there about, oh, just sell more, attract more people to your site, convert more leads, you know, you're going to increase your volume. It's very seductive to think that you're, just because you've got more volume, you're going to make more money. And that's just really not the case. You have to think it through in a lot more depth before you decide to increase your volume.
I'm almost coming up with in my head that selling more can lead to more stress, more debt, more financial challenges.
Exactly. And your operations, as you sell more, your operations start to get more complex. You may get more layers of people. So my mantra lately has been job costing is the fastest, the easiest, and best way that you can dramatically increase your profits without having to add more employees or sell more or work harder. Okay, so being more knowledgeable.
You are speaking our language. If we could encourage business owners on the Profit by Design podcast to do one thing, and that is avoid hiring people if you can get away with it, because that adds complexity. And a lot of times, if you're selling more, you feel tempted to add labor, right, to cover. And then times labor becomes more and more expensive because you have warm bodies, they're not productive. And one of the issues that we're going to get into a little bit later is just the fully burdened cost, that labor. So one of your, Diane, one of your areas of expertise is around job costing and using job costing effectively to increase profitability. So how can job costing dramatically increase our profitability?
Okay, there are really five different ways. So I'll try to run through the big list, okay, and then go back in and touch each one of them. First of all, you can locate costs that maybe you haven't billed out when you can actually see something and those costs slip through the cracks, particularly if you're doing time and materials jobs. The job costing can help you find those and make sure that you bill for them. You can spot and eliminate your low profit and your loser jobs. We'll go back to that. You can change your business mix depending upon which kinds of business are more profitable for you. You can review estimate versus actual reports. And I'll save the last one kind of more for the end about how you can use a three-step combination method, 10% or more of your gross profit to your bottom line. Okay.
Ooh.
So in the first case, I'm going to use an example. One of my clients and I happened to be looking through her job costs. In the process, I went, wow, that looks like a pretty low profit margin. And so she dug in and she had just recently started job costing and she found that there was $720 of cost. Now, this was a small job and they had a pretty good markup on their small jobs. And she found $720 of cost that had come in. Sounds like a small amount, right? That had come in and not been billed through to their customer. But of course, the job was done. They couldn't go ahead and actually bill the customer after the fact. And it meant ultimately, not only did they eat that $720, but what it converted to was, if they had billed that through properly, $1,301 in lost income. So a lot of those little pieces and parts that can happen, we laugh and talk about, it's kind of like being pecked to death by a duck. It's a lot of little things, and you might not even know it if you're not job costing, that those things are just falling through the cracks. Okay, so that's one example. Okay, another thing, and those costs, if you can get them billed out and watch all of those flow through, you're learning as you go, right? So that you don't do the same thing again. Also, you can, part two of that, those five different ways would be that you can spot and eliminate your low profit and loser jobs. Now, I used to be in banking and we had 13 different branches. And when I was tasked with the job of doing profitability for each branch, we found that three or four of the branches almost making nothing or were very low losses. Well, when we took those losses back up against the winner branches, okay, and they were just wiping out what the winner ones were doing. So the losses were just wiping out the winners, and then we were left with some stuff in the middle. Not wiping out, that sounds really bad. By closing the branches or selling the branches that we're not doing as well, we increased the profitability dramatically. Okay, so it's really interesting from a math standpoint how that works. And I do have some videos where I talk about that.
So I want to just comment on this a little bit, because we see this with our clients at Tap the Potential in our Better Business, Better Life program. One of the things that we do with them, we help them implement profit first. And to hit the target allocation percentages and profit first, the first thing that most people do is they try to start cutting expenses. And you can only get so far with cutting expenses. And then we implement the pumpkin plan, where we help them identify their top clients. And after we get the top clients by revenue identified, the top 20% that are responsible for 80% of the revenue, then we start digging in and start looking at, of those top clients, let's look at the margin on these jobs, because it becomes immediately apparent that those top clients oftentimes have been floating the other 80% of the clients in the business in terms of there's losses from those 80%. And so when we start to see that numerically, and then something that we've kind of been aware of but haven't paid attention to, when we see the numbers, it becomes so clear the decisions that need to be made and the actions that need to be taken to let go of those jobs and the clients where profit's being lost.
Absolutely. And you know, if you can knock out some of those lower return jobs, we'll put it that way, or the loser or the lower return jobs, guess what? You've got more time to dedicate to the higher paying clients and helping them be better at what they're doing as well. Absolutely. So you decrease your stress level because you don't have as much to manage and you can focus in on what's really working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So those lower level ones that wipe out the top, and they just go, wow, I can do less work. Okay. I might even have less people to manage, and I can focus on things that are more rewarding for me as a business owner, because we all know it's more fun, really, in most cases, to be working with our better clients and with our more profitable clients. They're usually a lot more fun to work with.
They are a lot more fun, and our teams enjoy them more too. It really is a big part of what I describe as creating a great place to work, is really focusing around those top clients.
Right.
You were digging into the job costing. We took a little detour here, so I want to hear you, let you continue with where you were headed there.
Oh, no, it all fits together. I mean, running a better company, okay, is both about profits and having a better time in the process of doing it. There's so many rewards to running a more profitable company, and doing the math is a big part of it. So the next piece fits very closely into this is when you can see what you're making or not making on every different type of job, is that you can change your overall business mix. So if you have jobs that you're making a 30% gross profit, and you have other jobs that you're making a 20% gross profit on, by changing over a period of time, you can't do this overnight, but, and neither one of those are horrible percentages as you initially look at them, depends, okay, what you're going for is your target for gross profit. But if you can just turn around and start shifting your entire business over to those things that are giving you the higher gross profit, and I'm not using those as targets that people should use, I'm just using that as an example. But if you can start shifting things over into your higher gross profit margin jobs, that can make an immediate difference in your profitability. It's when you sit down again, do the math and say, oh gosh, if instead of, let's say it was an average of 25%, instead of 25%, now I'm making 30%. On everything, then immediately you've changed a lot of what's going on your financials and on your profitability.
True. I think one of the important things is, you know, it's so important to have clarity on the financials of the business. And it almost seems like, you know, I've been in this trade for almost, well, 30 years now, I guess. And it's almost sad to see that there's fear to get to that clarity with a lot of people. They don't want to spend the time to really understand the numbers, but by not having the numbers and the job costing in place, you can't make educated decisions into what direction to go. You just want to fuel with more jobs, but the lack of clarity increases the fear, increases the anxiety, and leads to poor decision-making. And it's like that hamster wheel. You know, so, you know, Diane, what you're talking about with all the job costing and having the ability to identify areas of slippage and, you know, the poor clients is just so important. So, you know, anybody listening to this that's afraid of it, start somewhere, because it's going to feel really great when you know where you're making money, where you're losing money.
Exactly.
I want to comment on that, and because I think a lot of times business owners don't know where to start with this. So what's an easy way to just dig in a little bit? Where does a business owner start?
Okay. With their outlook. Okay. So many people are, as Mike mentioned, the term that I hear often is that they're number phobic. Mm-hmm. You know, they go, well, I just don't like numbers. And, you know, it's just accounting is boring. And I kind of laugh about that, because I'm going, you don't like numbers and you're in construction, you're a builder, you're out measuring, you're, you know, you're working with numbers all the time in your estimates and measuring. I certainly wouldn't want you to be saying that to a potential client. Oh gosh, you know, I'm going to come do your job, but I don't like numbers. In fact, it's just a matter of doing that mental shift. And as I've worked with people over the years who start out that way, once they actually get to see numbers that make sense and that are set up in a logical format, and they can understand what they're seeing, then it all changes for them. And I accuse a lot of them of being closet accountants after they actually start seeing their numbers. It's structural. I mean, construction people are very good candidates to move into this, because job costing is a system, and they're out building systems all the time as they work on their jobs. So in terms of where do they start, sometimes people say, well, how long is it going to take me to learn all this stuff that I don't know? And typically what I'll say is in 20 to 40 hours, which sounds like a horrible amount of time. I know, 20 to 40 hours. If you dig your heels in and go do it, okay. And if 20 to 40 hours of investment could earn you an extra $100,000 a year, guess how much that means you're earning per hour if you put in 40 hours, okay? A lot per hour. I think it's in the $2,500 an hour range. It's probably worth spending that time. So it's getting trained.
Well, and I want to put that in a bigger context because it's not just in the first year, it's what happens year over year over year because you spent that 20 or 40 hours. You're creating a system, you're creating that structure that you're going to have in your business to be able to evaluate every job going forward to guarantee that you have the gross profit margin that you need.
Right. And that return per hour, you know, you said it's year after year, but even if you multiply that by 3 years, okay, so 300,000 and it's taken you 40 hours to learn and figure out the system. Now you're up to 7,500 an hour for that initial investment.
Right.
And so, of course, I mean, you have to monitor your reports as you go along, but there's a huge return. If you can just say, hey, this is something new. I haven't done it before. I've learned all sorts of things through my life. Most construction people have been continually learning throughout from the day that they started.
Well, so one of the things, I don't know if you know about this, Diane, but I talk about the $10,000 an hour value of the activities that the business owner could be doing. And a lot of times we pass on doing those activities and we choose to do something that's going to earn us $100 an hour or even worse, $50 an hour. And so when we're looking at getting job costing and doing the analysis to do job costing in our businesses, it really does become a $10,000 an hour activity because even in that first year, the decisions you're going to be able to make on the business with that information at hand, that analysis that's there. And just the example we were talking about earlier, being able to look at who are your top clients and which, you know, if you could be a choice to let go of 80% of your clients because you can see clearly that they are costing you money or causing you to barely break even, that's tremendous lifestyle improvement right there. And I think that's priceless.
Well, establishes the whole direction and strategy for your business. I mean, it's something that when you start getting that information in front of you, now you can make bigger, longer term strategic directions. So one other thing, another one of those five ways is that when you do job costing and you carry it out to its full extent, you're going to be able to see estimate versus actual information. And not just for the job in total, but for all the different job phases. Okay. So call it site prep, foundation, framing, et cetera, all the way through. And within even those areas, you can say, well, what did I estimate for my labor and what did it actually cost? What did I estimate for my materials? What did it actually cost? And subcontractors and those other small costs that go along within each job phase. If you can see that estimate versus actual report, wow, that is so powerful. So first of all, it's going to help you as you're moving through the job. Okay. Secondly, I've had people say, well, it's not doing me any good because I can see we're way out of line here and I can't do anything about it right now. Okay. Well, that may be true. Okay. Sometimes we have hard lessons to learn in life, but at least then you can sit down and figure out what is the problem. Was there a bad estimate? Okay. Is the person who's running the job taking too long? But it gives you the tools to dig down in and see what's going on. Even the bigger impact is to be able to look in there and debrief after the fact and say, okay, now what can we learn from this? What are the great things that we did that we want to continue to improve on? And what are the other areas where we need to improve in the future? And then also if other jobs come up in the future, you can look back if there's a similarity between, you know, you just did a deck 3 months ago and now you're going to do a similar deck. Let's go back in and look and see what it really cost us last time so that we can do a better job of estimating and pricing and so on. So it can make a huge difference on the pricing side. So it's incredibly valuable in those estimate versus actual reports. And that's where we try to get people is out to that level.
Well, and again, that's something that it's real easy to get busy week to week and say, I don't have time to look at that. I didn't get around to it. But taking that time to compare and debrief, and I love the questions that you're starting with, well, And because that's really what we want to look at. How do we repeat that? How do we have more of that? And then where did things go wrong? And what can we learn from this? Very important to do that level of analysis.
Yeah, and it gives you a spot where you can provide feedback to people who've been on the jobs. You know, if you've really got the information, most people want to do a good job, but you've got to have information to provide them with the feedback other than, oh yeah, just, hey, you did a good job on that job in general. Okay. As opposed to being able to point out specifics and say, gosh, this went really well and this other place didn't, you know, what's your feedback and how do we change things and fix things on an ongoing basis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the things we talked about before is taking really like a sports coach mindset, right? There's not a sport that exists where the coach doesn't sit down with the player and say, you're hitting average, or here's your yardage if you're in football, or this is how much ice time you have and how many shots on goal or whatever it is. And having that clarity in construction, you know, where you can sit down with your crew and say, look, we hit a home run on this framing package. We made an extra 10 grand, or we lost on, you know, the millwork package. Why, you know, what's your thoughts on that? Why do you think this took us an extra 20 hours or 30 hours or all those things? So it's also a lot less confrontational, I think.
Yeah.
When you have the data and you're looking at numbers and nobody's in trouble, right? You're not saying, you know, you're in trouble, but you're just saying, look, here's the number. We lost 2,000 on installing cabinets. What could we do next time? And then you get buy-in, you get input. I mean, it really changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah, it becomes collaborative. You're collaborating with your team and so on. I would kind of like to cycle back to something we talked about earlier about people think, oh, it's just counting is hard or job costing is going to be hard. Well, in fact, the traditional way is really hard. Okay. Waiting until April or September of the following year to find out that, oh, you lost money. That's kind of hard. It's hard on you. Yeah. And it's just too late for you to do anything about it at that point. As you said, you need to be able to see that score while you're playing the game, okay, and use it to debrief. But if people really sit down and think about that stress that accompanies, well, I don't know how I'm doing, okay, how much money is in the bank, and they start running their businesses based on how much money is in the bank. It's just really a horrible way to do things.
So I want to point out here, we're talking, you know, in depth about construction. We have a lot of profit designers who are in different industries. And one of the beauties of learning about another industry is we can take something that is very helpful in one industry and apply it in our industry and be better for it. So there are certain industries where this is not part of the conversation. And I would encourage all of our profit designers, if you're in one of those industries where no one talks about job costing, be curious here and think about this. If you were going to do job costing in your business, what would that look like? And what information, how would it empower you to have that information at your fingertips? And what different decisions might you be able to make with that information?
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Really, anybody who's handling any kinds of project work, okay, they have specific clients. This can apply to service work. Mm-hmm. It can apply. And of course, manufacturers have done job costing over the years. They've led the way on the job costing side. But even then, you know, a lot of small job cost manufacturing shops need to be doing job costing. Traditionally, in many cases, as people move into setting up their own company, they don't have that business or accounting background. And so they don't realize how important this side is. And so they're very expert in whatever it is that they do. But it's kind of like the numbers end up getting pushed to the back burner. Okay, until I just say the heat is still on that back burner and things finally catch on fire if you're not paying attention to the numbers.
Fortunately, yeah.
So I want to make sure we've hit on everything that you have around job costing and dramatically increasing profitability with job costing. Is there anything else you want to add about that?
Well, I kind of like to talk about this, what I call the three-step combination method, okay, to increase your prices. So the first thing is if you can really, really dig into those job costs, it should not be difficult at all for you to figure out how to decrease your cost of goods sold or your production costs by 5%. That's not a very big number, okay? But it can make a really big difference in your gross profit. If you're in there digging around and saying, oh, we can improve here, we can improve there, we can cut our costs a little bit here, etc., you should be able to decrease your cost of goods sold by 5%. Okay. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. The next thing is that if you're watching all of that and you've started to increase your gross profit margin, you know what? You could probably, by working with those better clients and so on, and or specializing, okay, you could probably increase your prices by 5%. Okay. Would you agree that that's a potential? A lot of people, mm-hmm. A lot of folks just go, oh no, I can't increase my prices. I'm going, really? You know, maybe you need to do a little bit more of work on the selling side in order to explain your value proposition. But generally, I mean, 5% isn't a huge amount. Okay. When you can get those two things under control, okay, and increase your gross profit margin by 10% by doing those two things, and you're getting a nice gross profit, eventually then, after you're sure you've got that all nailed, you can turn around and start to increase your volume very carefully. Okay, but that's where you get your smallest increment. So the order should be get your cost of goods sold under control. The second piece is then increase your prices based on what you're seeing. The third thing is then you can carefully decide whether or not you want to increase your volume. But if you increase your volume, you got to keep your gross profit the same.
Okay.
Keep it up there.
I love that. So it's very modest goals here. So decrease cost of goods sold by 5%, increase pricing by 5%, and then gradually increase volume and watch it to make sure you're not losing your gross profit margin as you do so.
Do your projections and see how that increase in volume is going to impact all of the other support costs. Because if you have to go out and hire a sales manager, how much more volume are you going to have to do in order to pay the sales manager? Okay.
So that's a perfect setup. Let's dig into this a little bit when it comes to hiring, because as we increase volume, it does lead to that feeling, which is not a thought and an analysis, but it's a feeling that I need to hire more people to do the work. So how does hiring people on your team to do that work, how does that start to eat away the gross profit margin? What are the hidden costs?
Well, if you talk about adding additional employees, one of the big issues that I see a lot of people have is, first of all, they don't really understand what their employees cost in total. Okay, so we have information on our site about the issue of if you take an employee and you add in all the extra costs that it takes to keep that employee productive, okay, that can come up to 40, 60% of what you're paying that person per hour. Most people are aware of, oh yeah, I've got health benefits and I've got payroll taxes, but there are a lot of other little costs that go into that. So the first thing you need to start out with is to make sure that on your job cost report, you're getting what we call fully burdened labor cost, so that you can see exactly what you're making on individual jobs. When it comes to hiring additional people, then if you know what their true entire cost is, then you have to sit down and do the math and say, okay, so if this person is coming in at, I'm going to grab a number, $60,000 a year. Okay, now I have to add all of these other costs on top of that, and they need a truck to get around. Okay, and they need this, and they need that, and they need the next. Oh, and there are some memberships that they, oh, and they need some training, etc. I mean, there's a whole stack of things to consider. When you get that fully burdened cost for that extra person, and you say, okay, now I have a profit margin of, I'm just going to throw out 25%. Okay, I've got a profit margin. Now, how do I break even to pay that person? How much more am I going to have to sell and manage, okay, and get the work done in order to even break even for that salesperson? And are they going to generate that much more work? And am I willing to manage that much more work? Okay, so I'm picking on sales managers, but you know, the same thing for project managers and so on. So it's a math. You need to go through the math and figure that out before you just go, oh my gosh, I just have to hire somebody.
Well, so I want to talk about this from the lifestyle impact on the business owner who makes the decision to hire someone, because like you just said, usually you have to look at what volume increase do I have to do and what do I have to manage to break even on this new team member that I'm bringing in. Oftentimes we see with our clients Tap the Potential in our Better Business, Better Life program, they make the choice to focus on the top 20% of their clients and customers that are responsible for 8% of revenue. And they really zero in on those, the best clients to work with. And so they have fewer, it's less stress to manage overall. You can get away with having fewer team members. And what's fascinating to me is when those team members that you have are A players, they're highly motivated, problem-solving go-getters. Now you have not just yourself, but you have a whole team of people who can come together and find innovative ways to serve those top clients better and better, and attract more of those top clients without having to add additional team members to be able to prolong the length of time that the business can run and grow in volume without having to add team. And then when you add the team members, making sure you're adding an A player and not just somebody that you're bringing on because there's work to be done and you need some warm body on the job is better than nobody.
Exactly. That's what I like to refer to as a positive spiral. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about negative spirals, okay, but that's what you're talking about is a positive spiral. And the strengths build on top of the strengths. And of course, the opposite happens when people don't know their numbers and they just try to go with volume. You end up in a kind of a negative spiral mm-hmm. of things slowly but surely getting further and further out of control. And you know, just creating all sorts of negative repercussions. It's really a shame when things go the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see when things start going the right way.
So one of the things that's really standing out to me from our conversation today is not running the business on our feelings.
Exactly.
And using the numbers to make informed decisions.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's very easy as a company owner to just get caught up in the urgent, mm-hmm. okay, in the Stephen Covey. I'm sure you've talked about the urgency and the important priority matrix. The accounting and the job costing and the numbers fall into the important, but it's so easy to get caught up in the urgent. And, you know, it's something as business owners that we all have to keep juggling. I have to do that in my business. I'm sure you guys do that in yours. It's just this constant juggling between what's important and what's urgent.
Got to place importance on the important. So Diane, who should or should not be doing our job costing?
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about one of those things that people kind of carry in the back of their mind. It's kind of like waiting for a knight in shining armor to come along and fix your problems for you. They think that their CPA is going to do it for them. And or they think, oh, I can just hire a bookkeeper and the bookkeeper should know how to do job costing and come in and do this. The reality is that CPAs are doing 80 other things. They're overstressed. They're overworked. They do not like job costing. They don't want to come in and train your people how to do job costing. And of course, a huge portion of the marketplace works in QuickBooks, which is our specialty. But almost none of the CPAs or accountants that I've ever encountered know all that much about QuickBooks. A lot of them will say, well, I know just enough to be dangerous. And that's actually true. So don't count on your CPA to do this. But that's still in the back of people's minds. Oh, my CPA is going to tell me what I need to do and how I need to run my business and how I can increase my profitability. CPAs are much more big picture people. They're not going to sit down and help you manage your company. So the answer is don't count on somebody else to do this for you. You need to do this. You need to take the responsibility. You know, if you have the picture of Uncle Sam going, we need you, okay? But it is something that is a responsible company owner that you need to take on, okay? And what I find is a lot of company owners will actually step in and learn this themselves so that when they bring in somebody to do the bookkeeping, they can supervise, they know what they're looking at, they understand it. They might not continue to do the nitty-gritty on a day-to-day basis, but once they understand it, once they see the systems and how it all fits together and they understand what they're looking at, then they can bring somebody in and have confidence that what they're looking at makes sense. Okay, so getting the company owner involved and getting that company owner trained is vital. And it is really, if you want decent job costing, you're going to need to bring it in-house and not think that you can just pass this off to somebody else.
Yeah, good point. What are you taking away from this conversation?
Definitely clarity is key and cannot be afraid of job costing. Absolutely not.
Well, we can be afraid of it and we still have to face it and do it anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So Diane, how can our listeners get in touch with you and find out more? And I know you have something that's a valuable resource that you brought that you want to share with them today too.
Okay. Well, sure. Our primary website is, the name of my company is Info Plus Accounting, but our primary website is called buildyournumbers.com. Okay. buildyournumbers.com. And on that website, we've got lots of free information. We've got blog articles, we've got videos, and we also offer online training through our construction accounting and management program. So you can take a look at that if you go to that site. And additionally, for people who are listening to this, if they would like kind of a cool little thing, I wrote kind of a mini novel called A Tale of Four Companies, a gross profit drama.
Gross profit drama. I love it.
So at any rate, if they want to go to buildyournumbers.com and do a /, and just type in podcast, and then they'll be able to download that PDF. And it's a brief read, you know, I call it a mini novel, you know, so they should be able to get through it half an hour, maybe something in that range. But it really illustrates four different companies, all the way from a company that doesn't do any job costing, all the way through a company that does, you know, carries job costing out to its logical conclusion, and talks about what's going on with each one of those companies in the amount of information that they can gather and use.
I think that would be a very informative resource. So I joke about gross profit drama. That tickles me. And I know many of our clients in our Better Business, Better Life program are very in tuned to their gross profit. And they really do appreciate reducing the drama from gross profit by having a target and managing the jobs appropriately. So thank you for creating that resource, Diane. Again, that link is buildyournumbers.com/podcast to get a hold of the Tale of Four Companies and to read the gross profit drama. So thank you for being with us, Diane. This has been a very enlightening conversation today.
Oh, great. Yes, I've really enjoyed it and appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Join our conversation in the Entrepreneurs Take Your Life Back Facebook community at tapthepotential.com/group. Share your aha moments from today's episode, ask me questions, and join in on the fun with your fellow entrepreneurs on the journey to designing sustainably profitable businesses that give you more time for what matters most and more money in your bank account than ever. And finally, share today's episode with a friend if you know a friend who would enjoy it. This is real life business. Keep your chin up, keep moving forward. You got this. If you're loving the Profit by Design podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your business or your life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and please leave us a review. Our listener reviews help us get into the top 10 of all entrepreneurship podcasts so that more entrepreneurs like you discover us. Your review is critical in helping us make a difference for more entrepreneurs who are ready to take their life back.